This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company.
Thanks so much for agreeing to be on our podcast. We really appreciate it as we're trying to get as much real-time information out to the HR ecosystem at large. And today we're going to talk about how HR is leading their company through this COVID crisis. But before we begin, I would love for you to provide some background information on yourself, including your name, your title, your company, and where you're based.
Thanks. Happy to be here. So my name is Bailey Zeglis. I'm the Senior Director of People Operations at Mode, which is a data science platform. We're based in San Francisco, but we have offices in New York and remote workforce as well.
And you said you had a remote workforce that was remote prior to COVID, correct?
Yeah, so we were about 17% remote prior to COVID. So we had some ideas of what the best practices were, you know, in terms of using Zoom and defaulting to conversations instead of trying to do things over Slack, things like that for remote work. But certainly it definitely was a transition for us to move to being remote. But we do have a little bit of remote workforce already.
And before we get into the topic, I'm always fascinated to know if your remote workforce is actually helping all the other employees try to figure out what this remote work like looks like. And then in reverse, I'm always interested in knowing if your non-remote employees have more empathy and understanding for the remote world.
Yeah, so it's been interesting. I think one thing that is really clearly different is that the remote employees we have all want to be remote and have all chosen that life for themselves. Whereas a lot of the remote employees who are now temporarily remote and have been based in our offices in San Francisco, New York previously, have really valued the office environment and setting. And so we're getting a lot of great insight from the remote workers on, you know, these are best practices for collaboration. If there's miscommunication, make sure that you just like get on the phone and address it quickly, things like that. But they've had actually some pretty negative feedback about a lot of the sort of like additional team building stuff that we've done for others. And you know, it's optional. So like it hasn't been like super negative, but just like not wanting to attend. Like we have every single day optional check-ins for the whole company, like over lunch if people want to do that. A lot of the people who like having the social environment in an office really appreciate that. People who have intentionally worked remote for this amount of time are like, what are y'all doing? Like, this is not why I signed up for remote. And so it's been really challenging there. With that said, you know, this has been such a great opportunity for us to up our documentation game to make sure that everyone is included and that we are as inclusive an environment as possible. And I think that in terms of workflow, you know, documentation, all of that, we are going to be much stronger because of this new empathy that people do have for remote workers, just as you said. I think we'll probably, like every company, have quite a few people who choose to stay remote or, you know, who end up wanting to relocate away from the Bay Area or New York and stay employed with Mode. There's certainly ways that we can make that happen. And that sort of new effectiveness with remote work, especially in departments where we hadn't had it before, is definitely a positive effect of this whole crisis.
Got it. So I want to do a quick timestamp. Today is May 20th, because I'm trying to put out this information as quickly as possible. We want people to know what the world looks like as you're responding to my questions. So we've been in this for 2 months, maybe almost 2.5 months. As an HR leader, how are you feeling? What are you thinking? What's top of mind right this second?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I think when we started, Mode was one of the earlier companies to close our offices. We just felt that the risk wasn't worth the, you know, benefit of being in office. So we closed our office pretty early. First couple of weeks, we're making that transition. I feel like we've been really successful in that transition. And now what we're doing, and I think what everyone is doing in sort of different ways and at different paces, is we're looking at sort of understanding that we need to be supporting our team members in a longer term way in this remote situation, that, you know, schools might not open up anytime soon. And that like flexibility is something we need to be offering, and we need to be thoughtful about how people are and meeting them where they are while still sort of advancing the company goals. So I think flexibility while still making it really clear, like, look, this is what you're accountable for. We don't care when you do it. We, you know, you can do it in a different way, but like, these are your OKRs and they're connected to our business goals and we still need to get them done. So that people, because I think it's there early on, a lot of places there was this sort of urge to just be like flexible and say, hey, we'll figure it out. And it's like, no, we can't do that anymore. This is a long time situation. And so we're trying to sort of figure that out. And then the other piece that I think is becoming more sort of strong on the minds of HR leaders and exec teams in general is that we're clearly now in the middle of a big economic downturn. And how do we adjust our businesses to make sure that we're being as responsible as we can about, you know, building sustainable businesses that are going to be able to thrive through this, making sure that we're taking care of our people in a way that's going to be the thing that makes the most sense for the company and the business and those people, and what trade-offs it is that we need to be thinking about making as we look at years, you know, that are maybe a little smaller than we thought that they would be across the board, where, you know, even if your business looks great and people still need a product like yours in this time, which is certainly the case with Mode, you know, you're in a condition where everyone having more uncertainty. And so customers are struggling, or your customers are struggling. And how can you make sure that you're fiscally responsible for that sort of next step that's going to follow this?
So clearly during this crisis, there's been a team effort as entire executive teams have come together to really lead their company through this. As we briefly talked about before we started this interview, HR is in a really interesting and unique situation to really take on a lot of this and make sure that the company is getting through this, both from a company standpoint and from a workforce standpoint. So can you talk a little bit about how you believe HR is or should be perceived during this, and how this may change the role of HR moving forward?
Yeah, I think for companies that don't have a strategic HR function, they're certainly wishing that they did right now. This is the moment for HR in many ways. It's unfortunate that, you know, I think we're in a challenging role, similar to what you'll see with like legal or other teams, where a lot of the time you don't notice what's happening from the HR team until things are going badly at a company. In this case now, it's not that things are going badly at the company, it's that we're in a flexible situation but we're in a challenging situation just in general, and businesses need to be flexible, and HR is really well suited to help companies adapt and adjust. And so I think, you know, when you look at what HR is ultimately responsible for doing, like my OKRs are really the company's OKRs. Like I am directly aligned with the goals of the company, and my job is to make sure that every business unit is positioned as well as possible to achieve the outcomes that they're accountable to, right? And suddenly what that is instead of sort of like continuing with a lot of the sort of long-term valuable strategic stuff where you might not see immediate impact. So, you know, tracking and working on engagement results, making sure that you're managing performance over time, things like that, it becomes more of a change management function. It becomes, you know, more of an analysis function, partnering with other parts in the org to see, you know, how you can be doing things as well as possible and most efficiently to sort of figure out which benefits are most meaningful to employees. What were you offering before that doesn't make sense now, and what's going to really help make sure that you're taking care of your people in the right way as you move forward. So it's just kind of in a lot of ways, HR, it's such a wide assemblage of different kinds of things that kind of get thrown together, you know, talent acquisition, talent development, benefits administration, like there's a lot in there. And really what it is business strategy and people strategy. And as people are being affected in a different way than ever before, that becomes more valuable than ever right now.
What skill sets as an HR leader do you believe really helped you get through this that you already had? And what skill sets, if any, do you think you'll need to learn or are already learning, which you have before, to help you help your company get through this?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to comment on which I have or have to learn. I'll leave that to my boss to figure out in my next performance review. But in general, I think that really having a deep understanding of how the business works is the most important thing. If I didn't know, and this is one of the reasons I think it's really important for HR to sit on a leadership team. I'm fortunate to do that at Mode. And I think, you know, that is one of the things that I'll see with the companies that are handling this better. There is an HR leader who has visibility into the full operation and workings of the business and understanding how it all works together so that there is sort of the ability to make thoughtful suggestions about changes and ways to sort of iterate or adjust the strategy. You know, if you have to learn from scratch, like what an organization's priorities are or why, you know, what everyone does and all the different parts or things like that, you're not as able to provide value. So I think that strategic piece of it really matters. Mode's an analytics company. So, you know, maybe I'm a little biased on the side of things. I really don't think so. I think another piece of it is the ability to look at data and make intelligent decisions from it. I think there's a lot of companies and products that take HR data and give you dashboards and things like that. I think those are really valuable. You need to see the information, but if you don't know how to analyze the information and interpret it and what stories it's telling you, it's kind of useless to just have a dashboard. And I think being able to say, hey, this is what we're seeing right here. This is what that means. And this is how it's different than before. Like, these might be some reasons why, and like, these numbers are bad, and this is why that's going to hurt us in the future. And I can tell that story to the rest of the leadership team to advocate for the changes I want to make. That really matters as well. I think more and more, you know, every company, every department is having to really advocate for every dollar that is spent right now. HR seems like a cost center to a lot of executives who don't know the value that we can provide. We need to be able to clearly outline that by providing immediate strategic value and also being able to point to the data that says, hey, this is what my team has done.
Now, you're speaking to my heart. And so many here, as you're talking about dashboards and HR data and strategic HR, especially as we are a people dashboard company, realizing that a lot of HR leaders may not understand the data, which is why we have a data coach role to help you figure out how to best analyze this data and make it actionable. But throughout this entire interview, it seemed like you've been making a real stark difference between strategic and non-strategic HR. So it would be great to really end the interview around why you don't think so many HR departments are strategic, and really what does a strategic HR and people department look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that in terms of the sort of space in general, everyone wants to have a strategic HR function. And a lot of the time, the reason that departments don't end up being functioning that way is that they're really resource constrained. There's not like a clear connection between the value that a good HR function can bring and what has been brought. And so they're not able to advocate for those resources. And there's this sort of like an old school view of HR as like a cost center that, you know, is going to be like what you have to pay to make the employees be at your company and stay, but you don't see the additional value that you get from really kind of like developing talent and being thoughtful about that. In terms of what I think a strategic HR function is, I think, again, that comes into really understanding what different departments are doing and how we can partner with managers and executives to make sure that their teams are running as well as possible and that we're getting as much out of every employee as we can and that we're growing employees. I think one of the biggest differences when you look at companies that have strategic HR functions and companies that have like a more transactional HR department is that the strategic teams will end up leading to better management outcomes with more people growing internally, getting promoted and really developing talent within an organization so that you're kind of building your own succession plans. You're able to really kind of continue to cultivate that knowledge that you have internally of how things work and, you know, bringing in great new talent as well. Whereas if you look at an organization that's more sort of focused on a transactional HR model, they'll bring people in, they'll have them do the job that they were hired to do. And for that person to continue growing and developing, they'll have to leave and go somewhere else. And I think, you know, just looking at which is more valuable for the company, it's obviously given the cost of recruiting, given the time and energy that you do put into employees who are here, it's obviously better to continue cultivating that talent that you do have. And like, I think that's an example of the value that you get from a strategic HR function.
I have so many more questions. So I'm going to have you back on the show to do an episode just around what is a strategic HR department, because I think it's so important and so many HR leaders are aspiring to be strategic. But I want to thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your advice, your experience during this crisis. I know that you've been extremely busy. I know you haven't had a chance to eat lunch yet. And so I'll try to give you some time back in your day. But on behalf of the people that will be listening to this interview and our team as well, I just want to say thank you. We hope you, your family, and your team stay safe and healthy. And we really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much. You as well.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.